Hello and welcome to What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in Jasper, Georgia. If you like what you hear in the Bible study today, there's 10 years worth of Bible studies available free of charge at john14:15.org. Now let's turn to today's Bible study. That's why they begin to depart from the oldest to the youngest as they begin to see he's writing our names in the dirt. He who just called himself the fountain of living waters. And they depart and go home. Back to Hosea 2. And make her like a wilderness that is dry, bereft of the Holy Spirit, bereft of all the blessings of God. And set her like a dry land and slay her with thirst. Oh, that note says go see John 7. Never mind. I already did that. Now, there's a play on words in verse 3 that I don't want you to miss. That word naked is the Hebrew word arumah. A-R-U-M-M-A-H. Arumah. If you turn back to chapter 1, what was the name of that daughter? Lo-Ruhamah. Arumah, naked. Ruhamah, mercy. So no mercy. They end up going into captivity, stripped naked and humiliated as they're marched across the desert lands back to the place of captivity. The next Hebrew class will start in about 2 months. Okay, never mind. Shameless plug. Okay. Hosea 2, verse 4. I will not have mercy on her children, for they are the children of harlotry, meaning she taught the children to worship pagan idols instead of God. Does God promise mercy to those who hate me and love pagan idols? He did not. So why will he not have mercy on her children? Because they chose. Keep a finger here. Go back to Deuteronomy 30. People ask me often, Wayne, why didn't God just make us be righteous? No, he didn't do that. He gave us a choice. Deuteronomy 30. We'll start in verse 15. Deuteronomy 30, starting in verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Hold out one hand, put life and good on it. Hold out the other hand, death and evil. Now you get to choose which one. In that, God says, here's how I did that. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God. What do all these commandments start with? Love. To love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments. That's how you demonstrate love. That's what John 14:15 and 1 John chapter 5 verses 2 and 3 are all about. Verse 17, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear what? The commandments, the word of God, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess, meaning you will go into captivity. They were warned before they ever crossed into the promised land. What would happen if they choose death and evil? So verse 19 goes on and just makes it a little more clear. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. It's not that God doesn't care whether you choose life or death. He does. He cares very much. He says choose life, but he won't make you do it. But he's told you how to choose. Will you be obedient out of love or will you not? That's how you choose. People ask me all the time, Wayne, how can a loving God send anybody to hell? The answer is because they chose it. God lets you choose. If that's what you choose, then he'll let you do it.
And that goes back to the character of God, what we talked about last night.
That goes back to the character of God, what we talked about last night. I will be whom I will be. I will be whom I will be. And if you've never seen it, that expression, I will be whom I will be, it's not I am that I am. That's not translated, right? It's explained in Romans 9. So turn up to Romans 9. I will be whom I will be makes you wonder. I wonder what causes God to show me mercy. In Romans 9, Paul just lays out and explains it. Here's what he meant. Verse 15, Romans 9, 15. For he, the Lord God, says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy. That's I will be whom I will be. Does he tell us on whom he will have mercy? Yeah, we saw that in Exodus chapter 20. Those who love me and keep my commandments. So he says, you can be my servant, you can be my child, or you can be my enemy. You get to choose. That's the same as saying choose life or death. Will you be God's servant or will you be his enemy? Here, in the book of Hosea, God says Israel chose poorly. They turned away from the true and living God to worship idols. And God said, I told you what would happen if you do that. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 28. In more than one place, God lays it out exactly what will happen. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. The first 14 verses of Deuteronomy 28 are all the blessings God promises for being his loving children. Verse 15 begins, but if you make the other choice, this is choosing the other hand. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Curse you shall be in the city. Go through all the judgments that will fall. But go down to verse 36. It continues. The Lord will bring you and the king whom you set over you to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known. That's captivity. And there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. Because that's what Israel wanted. Not to worship God, but to serve the pagan idol. So God says, okay, go. Where did God call Abraham out of? Ur of the Chaldees. Chaldees is Babylon. Where does he send Judah into? Or back where Abraham came from. If you don't want to worship the true and living God, go back to the idols. See what they do for you. But the promise of Hosea is, yeah, Israel's going to learn from that and repent. So if we go back to Hosea 2, verse 4, I will not have mercy on her children. It's because they were not taught to obey the Lord. And that's where Hosea is going to go in the rest of the book. Is no one taught the children to be obedient to the Lord. The parents didn't. The kings didn't. The priests didn't. The prophets didn't. Except for the few that were godly prophets. But the number of godly prophets was far overwhelmed by the number of false prophets. And who do the people listen to? The false prophets. Why did the priests and the prophets and all do such a lousy job? Go to the book of Malachi. They wanted what? They liked that money. Go to the book of Malachi. God doesn't pull punches. He tells us exactly why. If you don't know where Malachi is, go to Matthew and turn back a page or two. Malachi. I want Malachi first and then Micah. Verse 14 of chapter 3. Malachi 3:14. You have said, It is useless. The word there is shav. It means vain, empty, of no value to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? So their focus is on what? We didn't get any money. Nobody put gold in our pockets.
You're going to a place where the streets are made gold. So, I mean, that's true. You know, they're not seeing it.
Yeah, they're not looking at the big picture.
Yeah.
How many of you in here are over 100 years old? There aren't any. This life in this world is but a blip in time. After this life comes eternity. How long is eternity? So people are giving up a lifetime of bliss, happiness, peace, and living in a city lined with the streets of gold that they might have a little more gold in this lifetime.
And the scripture says God has put eternity in our hearts. So we should know that there's something beyond what we see here.
We absolutely should. The Hebrew word for life is what? Chaim. It's plural. Because there's life in this world, then life in the world to come. And there's only two eternal destinations. You will live with Messiah in the new heavens and the new earth, or you will burn for all eternity in the lake of fire. There's only the two choices. That goes back to Deuteronomy 30. I set before you life and good, death and evil. Now go to Micah. So you have to flip back. How many pages would you say? 25?
Yeah, about 25.
Yeah, give or take. Okay. Micah in Hebrew, Micha, who is like, is short for Michael. Michael, who is like God. Go to Micah chapter 3. Just like it was Malachi chapter 3, it's Micah chapter 3. So they link together. And they both start with an M, but that's kind of irrelevant. I'm just tiptoeing while people are turning pages. Micah chapter 3, verse 11. Her heads, talking about the kings, the leaders of the people, they judge for a bribe. They're not giving just judgments. Who puts more gold in my pocket? Her priests teach for pay. The priests serve for 2 weeks of the year in the temple, plus the pilgrim festivals. The rest of the time, they're scattered amongst the nation, and their job the rest of the year is to teach the people the Torah. Well, they're only willing to teach for pay, which means they'll teach whatever you want to hear because you're paying. And her prophets divine for money. Oh, tell me what you want me to prophesy, then pay my fee, and I'll tell you what you want to hear. Does that lead a nation in righteousness? It does not. In Alabama, at our fellowship, we had a lot of pastors that were coming. And most of them were told by their denominations that you will stop going there, or we will fire you from your position. We will take away your house, your property, your job, your ordination. And all but a couple said, you know, Wayne, we'd like to study the Bible more deeply, but we can't give up the job. And they chose the paycheck over the truth. Well,
call it a job.
Yeah. I try. Go back to Hosea. I don't mean to get up on a soapbox. Let's get on with it. Verse 5. For their mother has played the harlot. You know, the word harlotry here refers to idolatry, because the people who are betrothed as bride to God were calling an idol husband. And well, you know, that's pretty bad. She who conceived them has behaved shamefully. That is, she taught the children to follow idol worship. For she said, here's the key, I will go after my lovers, referring to the idols, who give me my bread and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink. They claim the pagan idols are the source of all their blessings. It makes me think back to the northern kingdom of Israel. God would provide bountiful harvests, and if people would gather in the harvest and joyously run out to the idols and make sacrifices to Baal and Ishtar to thank them for the crops that have come in. Why do you think God sent 7 years of famine? What was he trying to tell them? That going and thanking and blessing the idols for the crops that I gave you hurts my feelings, as it does. So that's what verse 5 is about. Israel chased the idols thinking that they were the source of the blessings. Because what were the idols? Baal is sun god. Well, the sun in the sky causes the crops to grow, right? They cause the crops to ripen. Therefore, Baal must be the source. Who put the sun up there? The Lord did. The Lord did it so that the crops would grow, so that the people would eat. Turn back to Genesis 1:14. Somebody's not happy. Genesis 1:14. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. That's talking about the sun and the moon. Let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. The one word in there that I wish they had translated better is the word seasons. I've heard many preachers say that's winter, spring, summer, and fall. But that's the Hebrew word zaman. This is the word moedim, which are the appointed times of Leviticus chapter 23. Those Levitical chapter 23 appointed times teach the first and second coming of Messiah. In verse 14 of Genesis 1, man has not even been created yet. God established the moedim, the appointments of Messiah, to be his first coming where he dies, is buried, and resurrected, and the Holy Spirit comes. And the second coming, which restores the kingdom back to God. All that was set up and orchestrated and timed before man was ever created. That's one reason Messiah is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Dispensationalist teaches that, well, God tried something else first, and well, it didn't work out, so we had to go back to the drawing board and try again. Is that what the scripture teaches? No, it's absolutely not. So back to Hosea chapter 2, we're up to verse 6. No, we're not. We're still in verse 5. Shame on me. Don't get ahead of things. Let's turn back to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. Goes right along with what I was talking about with
teaching the children.
With the parents not teaching the children.
If they had been teaching them the word, they would know that the sun and the moon are not there to be worshipped.
If they had been taught properly, they would have known Genesis 1:14 that the sun and moon were not there to be worshipped. They were there to be a blessing at a timing and for signs in appointed times. You're right. Shame there's not a place in the Bible like Deuteronomy chapter 6 where God says, teach the children when you get up, when you lie down, when you walk by the way. But there is. And the people did not do it. When Ezra and Nehemiah brought the people back into Judah after the Babylonian captivity, that's when they created the synagogue system. They said, we went into captivity because the parents weren't teaching the children. So we're going to have a place that everybody can go every Shabbat and learn the scriptures, whether they were taught at home or not. We can all learn, and therefore we'll never repeat these things again, these sins. Well, it was a good thought anyway. So Ezekiel chapter 16, starting in verse 15. Ezekiel chapter 16, starting in verse 15. But you trusted in your own beauty, played the harlot because of your fame, and poured out your harlotry on everyone passing by who would have it. You took some of your garments and adorned multicolored high places for yourself, and played the harlot on them. Such things should not happen nor be. You've also taken your beautiful jewelry from my gold and my silver, which I've given you, and made for yourselves male images and played the harlot with them. Notice what God says. I gave you the silver and the gold, and you took it and made idols out of it. Verse 18, you took your embroidered garments and covered them, the idols. And you set my oil and my incense before them. Also my food, which I gave you, the pastry of fine flour, oil and honey, with which I fed you. You set it before them as sweet incense. And so it was, says the Lord God. Moreover, you took your sons and your daughters, whom you bore to me, and these you sacrificed to them to be devoured. Were your acts of harlotry a small matter? That you have slain my children and offered them up to them by causing them to pass through the fire. And in all your abominations and acts of harlotry, you did not remember the days of your youth when you were naked and bare, struggling in your blood. Talking about in Egypt, how they were persecuted, how harshly they were treated, how they cried out to God and God delivered them. Verse 23, then it was so after all your wickedness. Woe, woe to you, says the Lord God. If you're not a horse, woe is a bad thing. That you also built for yourself a shrine and made a high place for yourself in every street. What's a high place? A place where you worship idols. You made a high place for yourself in every street. You built your high places at the head of every road and made your beauty to be abhorred. You offered yourself to everyone who passed by and multiplied your acts of harlotry. Which idols did Israel chase after? Not just Baal and Ishtar.
Anything that would...
Any pagan out. Dagon, Moloch. Verse 26, you also committed harlotry with the Egyptians, your very fleshly neighbors, and increase your acts of harlotry to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore I stretched out my hand against you, diminished your allotment, that is, you got a little hungry, and gave you up to the will of those who hate you. You got taken into captivity. The daughters of the Philistines who were ashamed of your lewd behavior. Oh, look at that. That's sad. The Philistines, pagan idol worshippers full of sexual immorality, were ashamed of Israel at their lewd behavior. Verse 28, you also played the harlot with the Assyrians because you were insatiable. Indeed, you played the harlot with them and still were not satisfied, meaning that was not enough idolatry. You looked for more. Verse 29, moreover, you multiplied your acts of harlotry as far as the land of the traitor, Chaldea. And even then you are not satisfied. How degenerate is your heart, says the Lord God, seeing you do all these things, the deeds of a brazen harlot. You erected your shrine at the head of every road and built your high place in every street. Yet you are not like a harlot because you scorned payment. He says at least a prostitute takes money for what she's doing. You did it for nothing. Verse 32 says, you are an adulterous wife who takes strangers instead of her husband. I'm going to stop reading that now because that's depressing. So let's go back to Hosea chapter 2.
And again, that goes right back to Deuteronomy 12.
Goes right back to Deuteronomy 12, which says,
don't worship me the way that they're worshiping God.
Yeah.
He specifically says, don't make your children pass through the fire.
Yep, go back to Deuteronomy 12. If they have been teaching the children, how far does Deuteronomy 12 come after Deuteronomy 6? Yeah, not very far, huh? Deuteronomy 12 is a very important chapter to me, as they all seem to be. But start in verse 1. We'll do a few more verses than we normally would. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you to possess all the days that you live in the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. So what do we just read in Ezekiel? They put up a pagan idol and a place to worship it at every street, at every corner, at every village. God said, tear them all down. They did the opposite. Verse 3, you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. Turn a little farther in Deuteronomy 12 to verse 28. Observe and obey all these words which I command you. Does that mean I get to pick and choose? Follow the ones I want? Change the ones I don't like? God said, thou shalt not steal. How about if I change it to thou shalt not eat broccoli? Still the same number? No, God said, observe all that I command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you for how long?
Forever.
When you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. Keep a finger here. I'm coming back. But go to Matthew 28. What color are the words in Matthew 28:18? They are red. Here's Messiah's great commission to the apostles. Here's what God commanded us to do. Verse 18, and Yeshua came and spoke to them, saying, what does that word saying mean? It's a quote. It's right out of the lips of the Lord. Messiah himself said in Matthew 24, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. The word nations means the Gentiles. The word disciples means students. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe what? All things that I have commanded you. And I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So what did God tell the disciples to take out and teach the nations? Everything that he has commanded. Do you see how that fits together with Deuteronomy chapter 12? Let's go back to Deuteronomy 12. Where verse 20, he said all these things forever. And now on to verse 29 of Deuteronomy 12. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they're destroyed from before you, that you do not inquire about their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. What way? Do not take the way they worship their pagan gods and use those in the worship of the true and living God. They did such silly things as they would cut down an evergreen tree. They would bring it into the house, put it on a base so that it wouldn't topple, and decorate it with silver and gold. In the spring, they would take eggs and color them. You know where I'm going. God said, don't use those things to worship me.
It makes sense why he would tell them that, because when they start worshiping the Lord in the way that the nations serve their God, they're getting away from God's commandments and trying to make up their own commandments.
Yep, and they will move farther and farther toward idolatry, won't they?
Right. So they're moving away from God's commandments and moving toward man-made commandments.
Yep. And God said, if your religion is based upon man-made commandments, it's void. So verse 31 says, you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Then verse 32 is one that I should put on a t-shirt. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. God told us exactly what he wanted. God told us to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Who said, no, no, don't.